This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Patch 9.10 is here, and joining me to go through the buffs, changes, and nerfs is InVin Global Esports reporter Nick Geraci. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
No problem. Thank you so much again for having me on the show.
9.10 is coming out, and there are some changes to three champions, Master Yi, Teemo, and Malphite. Can you break down the changes to each of these champions?
Yes, I can. I'm going to start with the Malphite changes. I think are actually interesting because I like what they did for the most part with his kit. I thought that the changes to his Q and his W were very good. I think they're slight changes that I think really help him interact with the game in a healthier way. However, the way they changed his E, I think is going to bait a lot of people into playing this like the full AP Malphite, which I'm not a huge fan of. I think it's a very one-dimensional play style, and while it can be fun to kind of just run in there full AP and just, you know, unstoppable force, destroy everybody, it doesn't really feel much like what a giant mountain is for to me. So for me personally, I'm not a huge fan of his changes to his E, because I think we will see him be built kind of more of like almost like a mage or like a bruiser mage, similar to like the builds we're seeing on champions like Lissandra and Sylas. Master Yi is just needed so much. He's a mess right now. So I'm really glad that they gave a lot of attention to him. They changed Alpha Strike entirely simply because the way that it interacts with Spear of Sojin as an item, it's too unhealthy. And frankly, his kit has been outdated for some time. He's a very binary champion. They haven't changed that as much as just they kind of made his power curve a little smoother. So for example, he has cast time removed from his Q and his W now, and his Wuju style E, when it's up, it doesn't grant passive AD anymore, which I think is good. And I actually really like the change to his ultimate Highlander. The attack speed now starts off less at the first rank. It's now 30% instead of 40, but it scales a lot heavier. So instead of 40 to 50, 60 at each ascending rank, it's now 30, 55, 80. So this is a good way to make sure that Master Yi is that late game monster that he can be to carry an entire game without like a really uncoordinated low ranked game, just letting a Master Yi get out of control at like 5 minutes. Just, you know, the game's kind of over, right? It doesn't feel good to play against. This is a great way that they've done to keep his kit intrinsically like the same values and what he wants to do in the game while making it a little less obnoxious to play against. They did the same thing with Teemo, actually. We've seen Teemo kind of get bumped up on two patches in a row now. His changes, I think, are actually also quite good, because it seems to me like they're not really trying to change Teemo, which I think is a good thing, even though people find him annoying. But I think, like, you do have to, like, you know, we've seen champions get reworked across the board, like, you know, and sometimes that can alienate the previous player base, you know, champions like Yorick in the past, right? And so I think that what Riot is trying to do is slightly bump up champions like Master Yi and Teemo, who have not received updates in a while. So Teemo has received a lot of buffs to not only his base stats, but also his AP scaling. To kind of compensate for that, I think they're really trying to push Teemo more in that mage direction, as opposed to some of the attack speed builds that we'll see, like the on-hit builds that we'll see to kind of shred tanks in top lane. And to compensate for this, they also lowered the AP ratio on his mushrooms, so that's a little, because those are already pretty strong as it is. So, like, by kind of nerfing that a little bit and making sure he can only carry three at a time instead of three, four, and five at ranks. So I think, like, what they're trying to do is, like, we want to keep the same intention of these champions, but we don't want to completely change their makeup and how they intend to interact with the game. We just want to make those interactions better for the player, better for the players playing against it overall. I think they did that really well with Master Yi and Teemo. I'm a little disappointed in the Malphite changes, but we'll have to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I've seen AP Malphite for a long time, actually, in solo play, and it's a beast, because he's so tanky, and then he comes in and just shreds you with his R, and it's so difficult to take him down. But you said something interesting about Teemo, his AP scaling, and his ability to shred in top lane. If that's the case, and he doesn't have that ability to shred anymore in top lane, will he even be there?
It's really just that Teemo's been kind of in this in-between place for quite some time, where he doesn't really have a formal place in the meta. And I think that Riot isn't really sure how to address that, frankly. And I think that in trying this and just trying to sort of unify his identity under one play style, they can kind of figure out, like, hey, let's try to make Teemo balance in one way instead of, you know, trying to make, you know, people have been playing him both ways for so many years now, right? So I think they're trying to nudge him in that direction and see and then they're going to kind of be able to see. He won't be able to shred tanks, like, you know, with his, like, crazy attack speed in the same way. I think there's still some viability to that build if you're comfortable with it. But I do think that this will still, he'll still have an advantage in these tanky matchups. He's still a ranged champion. He still will hurt early. But I think that it will require, as the game goes on, for a team of players to play a little bit more intelligently instead of just becoming kind of a split-pushing madman in a favorable matchup. Very feast or famine champion, and I think they want to make him a little bit less that way.
I already know people are going to start taking him as APC, you know, instead of an ADC.
Griffin's AD carry in Korea last year, Viper actually did that, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that a little more often, especially with that kind of becoming more popular. We're seeing more mages in the bot lane, especially with the Glacial Augment rune for the added crowd control effects. Which I think is a good thing for the game too. I think the more diverse you can make the game while keeping it balanced is good, and I think that Riot is heading in the right direction in that way.
Are there any other changes we can expect in this patch besides these three champions?
Here's the really major changes, at least here. So Blitzcrank actually got buffed to his ultimate, and that might sound like not a big deal, because when people think of Blitzcrank, they think, okay, grab, right? They think the arm pull. But Blitzcrank's one of the few champions in the game that still has a silence. And not only that, it's an AoE silence when he ults, and it's on a very low cooldown. He can do that about every 30 seconds when he has all of his cooldown reduction. They increase the damage not only at the base rank, but even the scaling of it. Instead of going 150, 275, 400 damage off of that, he's now going to be doing 250 damage. So that's a significant base increase for those early game trades. If Blitzcrank hooks you, he'll be much more likely to die if he knows what he's doing, I would say, especially if you're, you know, a squishier champion in that bot lane, or a mage, which we've seen. You know, we've seen Blitzcrank go into lanes like Sona and Zyra, things that can be very squishy and kind of pulled apart, right? So I think that's going to be good for him, and a very, like, smart change that I think is going to have more impact than people think. Riven also got some changes. Her broken wings, her Q, the cooldown was decreased, which I think is a good thing. But to balance that, they increased the cooldown of Valor. So I think it's really going to just be a matter of, like, hey, you really have to value your E, your Valor, and use it more, not sparingly, but really make sure you're making use of it, basically. Because that cooldown is a big increase. It used to be 10 seconds, and now it's 14, and it will get lower with 1 second at every rank, right? But now at your max rank, you're at 10 seconds, which used to be the base cooldown. So that's a big, big change for Riven. I think that'll be a little bit of some adjustment. And then Vayne got nerfed. Her ultimate final hour, she would get 50% cooldown reductions on her tumble, right? Well, now it's going to be 30%, 40%, 50%, kind of scaling with her leveling up that ability. I think this makes sense. I think, you know, Vayne, you pick Vayne to be a late game threat, a tank shredder, and to keep her in balance, you don't want her to have too much power early. So I think this is a good change. The last major champion change specifically is Xin Zhao. He got some buffs, which is interesting, because I think he was already in a decent place. The AD scaling on his Q is increased to 50% from 40%, and he also got 2 seconds decreased on his cooldown reduction from his Q as well. So it's going to allow him to, you know, play even better to the skirmish heavy style. He's going to be hitting a little harder throughout the game, and he's going to be able to jump in and kind of, you know, thrust his spear towards people with that Q a lot more frequently.
Man, when you said Blitzcrank got a buff on his R, I was kind of upset about that, because a couple of seasons ago, and it was kind of like a joke build, there was AP Blitzcrank where yeah, absolutely. So I could see that coming back right now. So you're gonna have,
goodness, I didn't even think of that,
right? So we're gonna have AP Blitzcrank and AP Malphite. It's gonna be horrible.
Yeah, and then we're going to have AP Teemo, and it's just going to be completely insane, right? Who knows?
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what I'm waiting for is AP Nautilus. That was my favorite one to play. I would take him to top lane, and he just scaled so wonderfully with AP at the time. And I think that was season 6 or 7. And they took that away, and he was kind of like nobody played him anymore after that. But I'm hoping with all these changes that they're going to give some life to him too.
He did receive some buffs in the previous patch that were, I think, very helpful to him in that way. We actually have seen, I kind of expected to see him more as a support or maybe a top laner, but in competitive play, at least, we've seen him actually a decent amount in the mid lane. He takes the Aftershock rune, so he still has the tankiness, and he does have that, you know, that W shield that you can max. Like, so he has a lot of innate tankiness in his kit, and a lot of good wave clear, better wave clear than almost any other tank in the game,
yeah,
or tank style champion. And so we're seeing professional players kind of go these hybrid AP builds on him, where he'll build tech, tech proto belt, he'll build Zhonya's Hourglass before he buys any tank items, because he has enough innate tankiness early, and he does hit really hard. His base stats are good, so I think not quite the AP Nautilus of old. I actually think it's actually a little bit healthier in this way. You're still relying on your team fight presence, so I actually think that is a champion that can definitely benefit from that different style of play, and we've seen it so far at the top level of play.
Yeah, I do notice that kind of gameplay, but I'm talking about the overpowered Nautilus.
Oh yeah, no. I recall.
I want that one back. It's always nice to be so overpowered like Vayne. Oh man, how many times you could just face roll over your keyboard and you just win.
Yeah, basically.
Are there any changes to weapons or runes this patch or no?
So there are no rune changes on 9.10. I mean, it's still on the PBE, so this could come in later. Right now, we do have two item changes. Essence Reaver has been buffed. The AD on it has been increased from 70 from 65. And I like this change because it's not too much, but the champions who want to build Essence Reaver really specifically need Essence Reaver. There are certain builds for certain champions that can't get around it, but champions that benefit from Essence Reaver almost always need it. And it's the kind of thing where it's an expensive item, and yeah, it has a lot of stats, but it'd be nice to have just a little more damage on that because most of these champions who want to build that, they're getting it as a second item, and it just kind of hurts, really. Having to build Essence Reaver really just is doesn't give you that two-item spike that we really see take a kind of charge of the mid-game. You know, a lot of these AD carries like Varus or Vayne, you know, they can build Blade of the Rune King and a Zeal item, and all of a sudden they're a monster, right? So I think that this is good to kind of help champions who kind of have to build that more scaling-style build and get towards the Essence Reaver and play the game in a different way. It gives them just a little bit of help on that kind of power trough that you get in the mid-game. But there are no other item changes besides that right now. Since the patch is still on the PBE, they may release some in the future, but there's nothing as of right now.
So Yumi is available. And did I say that right? It's Yumi?
I think so. I heard someone say yummy the other day, and it freaked me out. And I don't know. I'll be honest.
Yummy? I like that one, though. We're going to go with, no, we're not going to do yummy, but I want to.
I bet they'll do like a, they should do like a, like, like a candy themed skin called like Yummy Yumi or something.
Oh, Yummy Yumi, that would be hilarious. You're right. Oh, so have you had a chance to play her yet, or you haven't done her yet?
I have not had a chance to play her. I have kind of seen her played a little bit on the PBE here and there, so I have a little bit better of an idea. I think we all do than last patch, and I think that we're going to see we're at least starting to see kind of a universal, like, okay, here's how this champion is played. Obviously, this is still on the PBE. The champion isn't quite out yet, but people are really going towards that, you know, that sort of enchantress, like mage, you know, utility mage style that we kind of expected to see from her. That doesn't mean we won't see her in only support, though. We could see her in solo lanes too.
Solo lanes, but she kind of relies on, or does she rely on other champions? Because I've only seen her play a little bit, and it's in clips. So, you know, they always show the best plays. But I don't know. When I think of utility, I think of Karma. Karma, she's okay, but she's not as good as she was like in season 4, season 5. So when you say utility mage, I don't think of like bursty. I don't think of long sustain within a lane. So early laning phase, I could see her doing well, but wouldn't that be kind of crappy to have two support characters in one match, or am I thinking too much into it?
No, I think that there's validity to that just as much as there's validity to, you know, that same problem with, you know, Lulu comps in the past where you play Lulu mid, right? You really do rely on a carry threat coming from somewhere else on your team composition, and you're there to make that from a strength into just like an insurmountable like form of winning that just cannot be stopped. You know, we've seen those protect the AD carry comps where you have like a Jinx with like a Janna, an Orianna, a Lulu, right, back in the day. And I think that Yumi does fit into that mold. However, I do think that given the sort of utility and control state of mid lane, if she comes out and her kit is, you know, overtuned, or even just because she can do so many unique things, especially how she can latch herself to champions, we could see some interesting like ways that she can help some carry junglers, like Nocturne or something like that. She can really probably help enable carry junglers who don't have their own CC. And since that's kind of the primary role of mid lane right now, is to have good team fight presence, have crowd control. You do damage, but you're there to enable, you know, your main damage dealers, which right now are often your bot laner and your jungler. So I think that there's a chance. I do agree with you that I think we'll see her almost primarily and almost entirely in support, but I'm not ruling it out simply because a lot of new champions, when they come out, people experiment a lot, and oftentimes, you know, they can come out when they're brand new and they have these new abilities that we don't know how to balance. You know, we could find out, oh man, this ultimate is so good and her stats are overtuned. You know, that's what happened with Nico when Nico first came out. So I'm not ruling it out, but I agree with you. She's probably going to be more that utility support.
Well, you just said something about mid lane helping the jungler out, and I thought, man, do you remember the old gold funneling strat? She could help out a lot immensely with a jungler doing that. So that would be kind of broken.
Exactly. And that's where you kind of get around it. It's like people are like, oh, well, you know, she might not have much to offer. It's like, yeah, but if you're playing a funnel comp, that's exactly what you want, right? We saw G2 do it in the LEC finals against Origin even just last month. And, you know, I'm not sure if Yumi is going to be, you know, the return of the Funnel Complex worldwide, frankly. I hope not, but it would also be awesome to see that pulled off properly and see if she can fit into that style and maybe give it some more nuance.
Yeah, or even Jungle and Yumi just switch it out. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it works because it is a very strange kind of champion that you would have to really know the composition of your team to do well. And it's I'm excited about that.
Yeah, really, it's really cool how, like, we talked a little bit about this on the last patch show, but Riot is doing a good job of introducing new and fun mechanics that encourage people to play with their teammates. Whereas in the past, maybe someone didn't want to play, you know, a Maokai and just kind of, like, tank for the team and engage. But now it's like, oh, you know, this ability is fun to use, and it also helps your team, right? Like, I think that they're approaching the concept of coordination and teamwork better, not only by integrating it into, like, inherently into the kit value by adding new abilities or new forms of, like, crowd control that have never been seen before, but also because of the way that they're handling the approach to teamwork and making it individually enjoyable and rewarding, regardless of whether your team can follow up on you or not.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's just my name, at Nick Geraci. I'm a full-time journalist with InVent Global, so I also, you know, publish things all over their site, so you're welcome to check out my work there at InventGlobal.com. But that's probably the best places to find me and keep up with what I'm doing in esports and whatnot.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.